friends. This is Chuck Peters with the Lifeway Kids podcast series. I am one of the directors here at Lifeway Kids. And today, once again, I'm sitting down with Jeffrey Reed, who is our director of worship and ministry development here at Lifeway Kids. And today we are talking about the importance of that exchange that happens at the end of your class time. As kids pastors, we all naturally think of ourselves as those who minister to kids. But in fact, there's really more to it than that, isn't there? In fact, if we're not communicating well with adults, we may be missing an opportunity. And that's what we're going to be talking about today as we discuss the importance of that key 30 seconds of time when you give your kids back to their parents.
Yeah, it could be as critical, maybe even more than what we do with the kids, because we can really lead our kids very well. And then if we forget to lead our parents in leading their own children, we're sending those kids back to the same homes with no more discipleship than what we can offer them. And we really should be the backup to what happens at home. So this this podcast really is in response to what has happened the last 6 months. I've done this breakout at several children's ministry conferences. I think you were at one of them, and the response was amazing, because usually I'll do something and I'll get a couple emails or people afterwards, but it was like standing room only, and I got emails afterwards about what's happened in churches that have started doing this. So it's about, you said 30 seconds. Sometimes it's not even that much. I noticed it in church this year when my wife and I were first grade teachers, and how we were checking them out when the kids would be picked up by their parents, and I was able to watch other teachers. And really, the interaction we had was check the badge, make sure that's your kid, give them the handout, and that's it. And so what is amazing is almost all the providers, curriculum providers, they're giving something to take home. They're usually giving a piece of paper. Sometimes it's a few devotionals or things like that. And those are great. It's really – most curriculum providers give that. But it's how that's handed and what happens during that exchange is critical. And so I came up with 10 things, and this is I could probably spend a podcast on each one, but we're going to just unpack them as quickly as we can in the next 15 minutes. What are those 10 things that a ministry leader can do? More importantly, how can directors, ministry directors, children's pastors train their teachers to do it? Because this has to happen at the teacher level. Mm-hmm. Because the ministry leaders are not seeing all of their parents, unless it's a really small church and they are the ministry director. We have a lot of volunteers that are listening, and they are the person, so this will be valuable for them. But it's more valuable that everybody that leads a classroom knows it. Think about it. It's the only time when you interact with almost all of your parents. If you've been in kids ministry any amount of time, you know that. If you have a training event, you're going to have – a few people show up, or we're going to have parents night. Hey, we want to gather all our parents together. We want to talk about what we're going to do this year. How many are going to show up? If it's good, it's half of them. But on Sunday morning or Saturday night, whenever you have ministry, almost all your parents are there, or at least half of them, because usually when one's warming the car up, they're in line. If they're really good parents, they'll both be there. But so what happens during that time is critical. It's really the only time we have to teach them. So how do you teach parents in 30 seconds?
And you and I have been on both sides of this as dads of four kids, from little ones all the way up through teenagers now. We've both been in kids ministry where we've been the one giving the children back to the parent with that activity page and that craft with the cotton balls and the glue and the glitter all over it that gets stuck under a seat somewhere. And we've been on the other side. We've relocated as a family several times, and through the process of visiting different churches, you see all the different ways that this is done, some better than others. So you're saying there's more to it than a stack of papers with a kid's name written on it that's left in the hallway that you self-serve, pick up off the floor. There's an exchange that needs to happen.
Yeah. And, curriculum providers, now, like at our curriculum, we provide free apps that the families can use. We have the take-home conversation starters, scripture memory cards, activity pages. There's websites. There's parenting helps. There's music and video resources. All that is awesome, and it's great. I'm grateful we provide it. But what happens when we communicate to parents when that exchange is more critical. Do we tell them about that stuff? So just real quick, I'm going to go over these 10 things. And also, all this is available on our website where this podcast is, Lifeway Kids Ministry. And you'll be able to find a PDF file that has all of these notes on there. So as you're taking notes, you can kind of follow that as an outline. You can even print it out and give it to your leaders. But the first one is that it's find out what is available from your curriculum provider. If you use a curriculum provider that's been around for a while, a lot of the more traditional providers, they're still – it's a piece of paper they'll give you, and that's good. Whatever you use, make the most of it. Try to get as many resources as you can. Find out what they are. You might find out there's more than you know about. So call that company and ask them. All of our stuff and Lifeway Kids, is, especially if you get the digital, it's all downloadable. If you get the physical stuff, you're going to get that with your kit. But you can always call us and ask us if we have more. I'm going to just count backwards. So that was number 10. Number 9 is consider how to best utilize that drop-off and pick-up. I call it a queue area. You've been to Disney World, right?
Yes.
So there's something now about amusement parks. What they do is they have in the queue line, you're not just like standing there to get on the ride. You start to experience it like they do the teaser, like especially, at Disney now, all the new stuff. You're kind of entertained while you're in the line. Mm-hmm. And I'm not suggesting we entertain our parents, but they're standing there like a captive audience. They're standing there. You should use as much stuff as you can while they're standing there. And, always have the parent that shows up really before the service gets out, and then you have those that show up late and everybody in between. So you want to use posters to illustrate and show them what you were teaching, or maybe even your scope and sequence. You want to use video monitors if you have those, if you're a techie church. You want to use brochure holders if you're not. Those are great, too, for parents. And make sure they actually get them, because they'll sit there sometimes. If you don't hand them to them or they don't take them, you want to make sure they do that. And use music. In our church, we actually play the music while kids are being picked up that we've played that day, because we want a kid to go, "Mom, I love this song. We did this today." And the parent's going to go, "Where can we get that song?" You've just led them in a way that they can get something, a resource for their kids that you can probably provide or point to them. So the cue area is critical. That's number 9.
So you can actually begin to influence the parents. Because really the whole goal, this whole thing, is it's built on the notion that ministry doesn't stop when the kids leave the classroom. It really is the classroom is what's setting up the parent in the home for those conversations to continue throughout the week.
Yeah.
Right? We only have those kids for 1 hour a week, maybe two, where the parents have them all the rest of that time. And so we really need to be about equipping parents. And it can start in the queue line. What a great idea.
Yeah. And that's just number 9. I mean, there's several more. Number 8 is you actually have to make those things available, because knowing about all those resources, making sure there's something that parents can take. Also, you might want to skip the kids sometime. And if you give the kids something to take home, you're trusting a 7-year-old or a 12-year-old. And I have an 11-year-old, and I don't want to trust him to remember anything I tell him, to pass on to somebody else. It'll twist it or forgotten.
Or so, made into an airplane, yeah, as often happens at my house.
Now, we do that. So we do tell her, we cue our kids to say things in the car, and I'll talk about that later. But you really want to try to have direct interaction with the parent, because you're the leader, and you look them in the eyes and say certain things. And I'll get to those in just a minute.
Yeah, so we're really calling those parents to action, right? Rather than passively handing them a piece of paper, it's asking them to do something. How does that conversation go? What's next on the list?
Well, I noticed that, too, when I was handing out the papers. They would just kind of – they didn't really know what it was for until we started telling them what it was for. They just thought it was another craft, when actually it's – there was nothing. It wasn't. We printed those for them to be able to start spiritual conversations in the home. Here's one I would have. This is a follow up to that. I would have demonstrations of those things in sight. So instead of just telling them about the app, I would have an iPad or a smart device in my hands and show them and say, "Hey, can I borrow your phone for a second?" And it might be a little rude, but I don't mind doing it, because I want them to take it home. I'll take the phone and say, "Man," and I'll go to the scroll to the app store and show the app. Click on it. It's free. Install. I say, "Man, you've got the app here. If you'll click on today's lesson, you'll see what we talked about." It took less than 30 seconds to do that, usually, unless you have really bad Wi-Fi or no Wi-Fi. But I've been able to download most of our apps, even in the cellular network.
But great point to educate your parents about the apps that are available. And so for all of the Lifeway Kids offerings that we have, whether Explore the Bible, Bible Studies for Life, the Gospel Project, Worship for Life, there are apps that go along with all of those that are really designed for the parent to use at home. So a poster, a sign, a note on the handout that says, "Hey, download the app, here's where you can get it," is a great idea.
Church in South Carolina. Carolina actually took the app. They hooked up their iPad to a large screen touch TV, and they turned it vertically, so it was the shape of the iPad at the classroom, so parents could touch this gigantic iPad in front of them, and the kids were, "Mom, you got to do this." And I mean, it was brilliant. Like I would guess every parent had that thing downloaded before they got in the car, because we also tell our kids things like this, and your kids are going to do this. Don't let your parents get in the car without downloading the app, and you like just set up all your parents. You might get some emails for that, but I'm telling you, kids want this stuff.
Great thing about the apps as well, even with the the paper based activity pages or the family cards that Lifeway Kids offers along with their curriculum lines, is to interact around the material with your child.
Yes.
So it's all about that interactivity between parent and child to come together, debrief the lesson, and continue to go deeper, whether it's through games or Bible verse memory that's a part of those apps included in the activity pages. There's a lot of great content. But we may be assuming too much if we assume that by handing the piece of paper to that parent that they will follow through.
Yeah.
So tell us more of your tips.
We also don't want kids to sit in the back seat with the app and do it and never interact
in
with the
isolation.
Tell the parents, but the parents have to initiate that and keep that from happening. Here's number six. This is critical because a lot of leaders are like, man, it's too chaotic after classroom. But so this is how you make it happen. You program in the type of activities during pickup time that will engage the kids collectively so that leaders can engage parents individually. So my wife and I tag team. She'll be doing the memory verse with the kids, and we have a large group. We have 25 to 30 first graders in our class, but we also have four adults and several teenagers that are consistently there every week. So they're doing an activity, so there's no chaos, and which is also good for parents to see, by the way. You're talking to the parents. One of us, our only job is to talk to the parents about what we just learned and to give them the stuff while another adult does the security badge check, that sort of thing. And so the key is that we've coordinated that in advance. We have an activity that's going to allow the kids to be over here while I'm talking to the parents before they get picked up. And I realize sometimes this actually may slow things down a little bit, but over the last few months, I've seen our class lets out pretty much the same time the others do, and our last kids are picked up pretty much the same time the other classes are. We've gotten it down to a system, and it's involved us planning ahead a little bit.
And in many cases, that few seconds of time is the only opportunity that a parent has, unless they're going to slip out of big church, right, to take a peek through the window. That's the only time that they see what's happening in your ministry, when they're dropping off and when they're picking up. So to have the kids actively engaged in something that's a meaningful interaction around a memory verse or whatever that might be is a great thing to be involved in when your parents do show up.
Yeah. And The interaction with a parent is something I think has been neglected in the church from this teacher's classroom. I mean, they know them, but to really lead them is something they may not feel empowered to do. So you got to empower the leaders. If you are a leader, you should feel empowered right now to lead your parents because they want to be led. What I'm about to say has been in the midst of this message and this talk on the 32nd has been the most valuable tool for kids ministry leaders. Two questions, and you can alternate them, but you need to come up with a language because your church may want to make sure we don't sound too preachy. I'm totally okay with it, but I ask my parents two phrases. Actually, I don't ask them. I make a definitive statement that compels them to think, oh, I should be doing that. So the first one is this. We'll say, so the parents there, I give them the piece of paper that has our Bible story on it. I'll say, hey, when you guys have your family a Bible study this week, I don't know if you do it every night or just a few nights a week, this is a story we study. I know that sounds a little presumptive, but it's in a gracious way. That parent just heard me say, you need to study the Bible with your kids.
There's an expectation there that you are doing that.
What you see is a glazed over eyes, and you see parents internally go, I'm not studying the Bible or not even reading Bible stories with my kids. You want them to feel that conviction that I believe is from the Holy Spirit. And you've just led them in such a way that's non-confrontational. You haven't said, you need to read the Bible with your kids every night. And here's the other question, because this comes up a lot of times when we do prayer requests in our small group, the kid will say something about their uncle or maybe their cat is sick or something. But whatever the case is, when the parent picks them up, you say, hey, when you guys pray tonight or, your nightly prayer time, here's what your kid said. We want to pray for you this week. Let us know if we can pray for you. You can even pray for what God taught this morning through this message. You've just said another prescriptive statement. You need to be praying with your kids. Those two things are not happening by and large in our churches. Families that come to church every week, their spiritual conversation is the 1 minute thing after church. What do you learn in church today? and they give them the answer, and they're done. Mm-hmm. And then they might count God is great, God is good, meal, prayer. You take those out, families are not praying together. Families are not reading Scripture together. So those two phrases really remind – and if they hear it every week, guess what's happening? The church is leading parents in doing what they should do. Pray with their kids and read the Bible with their kids. Mm. And that little exchange is the only opportunity. We have to tell all of our parents that. Now, hopefully the pastor will do it occasionally from the platform, but we'll be consistently doing it every week. And you'll start to see families. We had families just after a few weeks of this. We had a mom come up and say, we've been going to church our whole lives. We've never prayed together. And so thanks for telling me I need to do that. And I really didn't tell her she needed to do that. We just assume she was, and then that assumption convicted the heart that she needed to be doing that. So,
and I think we would need to take care there in not so much in what we're saying, but in how we communicate that, right? Because as we know, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So the goal here not to enforce guilt on someone for not doing this, but to set an expectation that these are things that should be happening in the home already.
Yep. Absolutely. Let me get through the last few. Number four, utilize parents who are walking by faith to intentionally connect with younger and new families. So in the line, for example, my wife and I teach the child of somebody that we're in a small group with, and that couple walks with the Lord. And so that would be a situation we say, hey, when you're in line, try to get the temperature of families around you and try to start some spiritual conversations. So you have a lot of younger families, families that are unchurched, and you have a family that is walking with the Lord that starts to walk with them. So that's great. That can happen in the line too. People stand in the line and they don't talk to each other. Like they show up at church. They talk in the lobby, but like when you're standing in line to pick up your kids, you just want to get your kids and get out. So you got to be a little more intentional about that. Number three, this is for kid ministry leaders primarily. Observe the drop-off and check-in time so that you're already keen on who your guests and visitors are. Mm-hmm. I think that's critical. I think the best place for the kids ministry director or leader to be is at the kiosk or at the front door. And the first time you recognize somebody or you don't recognize somebody, you're going to look out for them on the way out because you want to make sure it was a great experience, that they come back, and that they feel welcome and loved by you. Number two, assume that everyone is wanting help to know how to lead their kids. I mean, you have parents that have been going to church all their lives, but they may need that. They may need somebody to tell them, you need to pray with your kids. Mm-hmm. You need to read the Scripture with your kids. So I think a lot of, especially young kids ministry leaders, like they don't have kids or they're not that old and they don't feel like they have the authority. But God has put you in a – if you're a kids ministry leader, God has placed you in a position of authority. So in love and with grace, lead your parents well. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that they don't want your help. My oldest is 14. I need all the help. I have a young one that's 8, and I still need help. I didn't get it right with my first 3. I got my 4th, and so I'm always looking for help. And then last one, and this is critical, train every leader in understanding the importance of this. So if you're a small church and you are the only leader in your church, you got it covered. But if you have another leader, other classrooms, make sure they're all doing this because that's the, you know, you don't want any parents to be missed or left out in this whole process. And it's important, I guess, as we close, to remember that our role as kids ministry leaders, it's got to go beyond our calling, as you said, to lead kids into our calling to develop leaders and then really to equip parents. Because kids ministry is not just about kids, it's about the family, and it's about leading those families well. And most importantly, I want to close with this. It's my mantra, is that partnering with parents is one thing. It's critical and it's important. What we partner with them in is as critical. So I can partner with families and get them to spend time together, and that's great. But if the gospel, if Jesus is not the center of the family, it is all in vain. Because you're going to have a bunch of really well-connected families that are still lost because they've never heard about the transformational grace of Jesus. And so in the midst of everything you do, and hopefully in the curriculum you use, it's going to be Christ-centered. Your families are learning to make Jesus the center of the family, not the family the center of the family or a kid. And honestly, even churches make the family the center of their church. Jesus should be the center of everything we do, and he'll work out the details as we kind of walk with him the journey.
Absolutely. Well, you've got that hour's worth of time with his children, and you only have 30 seconds or so with their parents at that critical time of exchange. And so we do want to encourage you to take advantage of these 10 tips from Jeffrey. Jeffrey, thank you for your time. Fantastic conversation, great tips, and very practical advice that we can all put to use. Well, until next time, this is Chuck Peters with the Lifeway Kids team. Thank you again to Jeffrey Reed joining me here in our Nashville office. And until next time, We pray that God will use you in ways that are bigger than you can imagine to reach more kids and families than you ever thought possible with the hope of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening.